in chapter 6 this last week. And we didn't finish 6 because we're doing it this morning, because we're doing some of the parables in our Shabbat school here. Some we do there, but some we do here. Now, Luke chapter 6, kind of in the middle, around verse 20 or so. No, 26, 20. You know what? Hang on one second. There we go, 20. It works just fine. Pray for the eyes, okay? Yeah, that's the worst part. The other part, I can't remember what that is. I really don't. Well, last Thursday, in our study of Luke, we discussed Yeshua's sermon on, you think I'm going to say the mount, right? It wasn't. It's the sermon on the plain. Now, next week, we're going to talk about people who say, well, wait a minute, it's the same thing, but since it's different, there's a problem. And what did he say anyway? We're going to show you that. However, the issue is this. Yeshua taught his teachings and his method of teaching several ways, several places, several times to different audiences. This is a different sermon than the Sermon on the Mount. Different location, different audience, Sermon on the Plain, Luke 6. It's similar, but it's a different sermon. Major differences, okay? The message is a comparison of the values of the world. Really timely for this week, by the way. I didn't plan this way at all, but it's timely. It's a comparison of the values of the world to the values that Yeshua taught. Okay, now, and then we say, well, wait a minute, didn't Yeshua teach the values that were being taught in Judaism at the time? Yes and no. We learned Thursday night that the sages taught in the negative what you should not do. Example in the Mishnah, okay, what does God say about Shabbat? It's a positive statement about Shabbat, not a negative, but the interpretations were all negative. It was the list of 1,500 things you can't do. You can't do that, okay? Okay, and that's how the sages approached everything, was what you couldn't do. This is what you don't do. And if you don't do these things, you're okay. Yeshua took that and reversed it. He says, no, it's not what you don't do, it's what you do. So that was revolutionary for the time. He took the negative into the positive, including the golden rule, which we'll probably look at here. It's in this message. Okay, because what they were saying was, don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. See, don't do. Yeshua said, no, it's the do, not the don't do. Okay? He taught that we should do and what we should do. Yeshua taught the active doing versus the passive not doing of the things God instructed us. And we learned Thursday night, it's harder to do something than it is not to do something. Give that one some thought. To be active and to do it is much more difficult than to sit back and not to do it. Okay? People are going to do nothing about this election and then gripe and complain about it. We're to do something. But he concludes his message, and we're going to go back to the middle of this with an illustration a little bit later. He concludes it, as a good teacher should, with a picture, with a story, with an illustration, with a parable. So that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to refer back to the middle in just a minute. But starting with verse 40, did I say 46? That's what I wrote down. I'm not sure where I got that from. It is 46, isn't it? Okay, good. Verse 46. All right? And we'll read these few verses. He starts this with a question, which is the question of the day today, the question of this message. Why do you call me Lord? Lord, and so it's the double Lord for emphasis. That's a strong emphasis. He was raising his voice on this one. Why do you call me Lord, but and not do the things which I say? Okay, good question. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? That's the line for the parable, for the teaching. Good question. Okay, he said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, three things there, I will show you whom he is like. The like thing is the parable. That's the picture. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Keep in mind, being the good Jewish teacher, he's using his hands. He's pointing at himself, founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, there we go. He who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. This house doesn't have a bad foundation. It doesn't even have a foundation. All right? All right. Hang on one second. Need two more hands, okay? Without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You want to have a great fall? Don't have a foundation. Well, he was talking about things that people are familiar with. Buildings. And people have planned for the short term or the long term. The easy way or the hard way. But he begins with that bold question. Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say? Okay? There's a don't do here. People are don't do what he says. Now, that's the question for us. And how would you answer that if he asked you that this morning? Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say? Have a good answer for that one? We have two builders, two houses, two foundations, two outcomes. It's easy to see the contrast. Which house do you want? Only a house with a solid foundation can withstand a storm. Only a life built on the solid foundation, the rock, can withstand the storms of life. That's what he's talking about, not about houses. He requires three things of us in this story, okay, from those who are committed followers. If you look at the beginning of the message, he addresses the message to his disciples. The crowd is eavesdropping. Now, the disciples are a greater number than the 12. But disciples are his students, disciplined learners, guys that take this serious. He's teaching them, the serious students, okay? He requires three things from his disciples. Those who call him Lord. That's who he's talking to. That would be us, okay? First, that we come to him. He that comes to me. He used that phrase many, many times. That means make a decision to be a disciple versus somebody who's passive, who kind of shows up, and this is nice. No, when you come to him, you make a decision to join with him as one of his students, one of his disciples. That's the first step. You make that decision. I'm going to be a follower of Yeshua, which means I'm going to listen to what he says and do what he says. I'm going to enter his community. That's the picture. He had a community. Rabbis had communities. So you have to join the community first, okay? And that's by faith. You don't sign up. It's in the heart. Second, he said, my requirement is that you hear me, that we hear him, that we listen to him, that we listen to his words. That's what he's saying, that you listen to my words. Now, many people don't know what he said. Just talk to people. Many people don't know what he did. Many people don't know what he taught. And it gets worse. It gets worse than that. They have misunderstood stuff because of misrepresentation, because people say he did things which he didn't do. They say he said things which he didn't say, because they don't go to the Word. I mean, it says somewhere something about, no. And sometimes it's just plain lousy teaching, okay? How about movies about the life of Yeshua? I've only seen about a couple of them that are good. The one that Crusade has, the Jesus film is excellent, and there's one out that I saw, it's called Matthew. The entire script is the book of Matthew only. Can't go wrong on that one. And not only was that good, because it's exactly what he said, but the guy they have playing the part was young, you know, as he should be, and he was happy and joking and lively, and they had a good time, just as it says. It was enjoyable to be around him, okay? So those are the only two I've seen, but in movies you get stuff all wrong. I mean, how many times do I hear at Passover, somebody's quoted me something about Passover and they quote the movie, The Ten Commandments. And I go, well, they got it wrong in the movie, okay? I like the movie, but that's not what really happened in the Bible. Let's take a look at here. You need to know your scripture, know your books. They have all these novels out about the Bible. Novels are fine, but they don't always tell it the way it really is. You need to know what the scriptures say. His question is, you call me Lord. Okay, we call ourselves by his name. Okay, the word messianic, the word Christian. Are you aware it's the same word? Okay, messianic is the Hebrew, Christian is the Greek. It means Messiah-like or Christ-like, Messiah-like. You call yourself by my name. Messianic, Messiah-like. But you don't know what I said. Okay? Part of our calling is to make sure people know what he said. When we go places on outreaches, we want to represent him accurately. They need to know his claims, what he claimed, his claims. what he said, all right? Not what others say about him, what he said about himself. Most Jewish people don't know this. They just don't know. They haven't heard. How can you hold them accountable if nobody's told them? They have misunderstood because it's been misrepresented. Now, a number of years ago, I was invited to speak at the men's club at a conservative synagogue. 75 conservative Jewish men, all with kippahs on, okay? And here I am. And I started this off by saying, I'm evangelical. That means I actively attempt to persuade you to believe like me. Why'd you invite me here? And in the course of the sharing and teaching, we had a 45-minute question time. And in those questions, honest questions, I learned that they don't have a clue who Yeshua is. Not a clue. And when I answered their questions, they were perfect questions too. Okay, they go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm realizing nobody's told them. No one has told them. They haven't had a chance to believe because nobody's told them who he really is, what he's really said. All right? And when they heard it from me, they weren't mad at me. They were going, oh, okay. They said, well, we're really kind of close, aren't we? We see things almost the same way then, don't we? That was a real coming together there. One little teensy-weensy issue on who the Messiah is, but you know what? But they saw me as kind of a friend instead of the enemy. Well, and some people are listening to other stuff. What are you listening to? They're influenced by others, other books, other writings. They read everything else except the Bible. Okay? We need to be listening to the correct information. It's right here. The living Word of God. Yeshua is saying, hear my words. Okay? Now, the third thing he said is that we do. We hear, but we are to do. We are to do what he taught. Okay, knowledge is great. We go to school to learn stuff. But it's useless if it's not translated into action. From a Jewish perspective, you know, you don't know it until you do it. All right? You can go to a college class on biblical ethics. They have those. You can get an A and not be a believer and not do anything, but you know it. See? You can have the knowledge, but you don't do. You can know and not do. Knowledge needs to be translated into action. Theory into practice. Theology into your life. Theology is no good unless it's you. It's your life, okay? And our life needs to be a reflection of him. We're called to hear him. Hear him. And to do what he said. To do what he said. Now, here's some biblical math. This is easy. Hearing plus doing equals obedience to Yeshua. Pretty simple, huh? Hearing plus doing. He was saying that lots of people hear, but only some do. Hearing plus the doing. His teachings need to be second nature to us. Okay, so that when we're in a situation, we automatically do the right thing because it's who we are. His values are our values. It's who we are. That's the way it needs to be. But it can't be unless you know what he said. Unless you're really familiar and understand these words. What did he say? Okay, what did he say? Well, he gave us a to-do list. And Thursday night, I got to tell you, it was tough. Because we look at the to-do list and we go, wow, that is not only hard, it's really, really hard. Okay, we discovered that action is very difficult, the action he requires. It's not only the opposite of what the world does, okay, but it goes against our own personal grain. It grates us wrong. That's not how we are, okay? It's not what we want to do. We don't want to do those things. I'll show you a couple in a minute. To the point of being, it gets uncomfortable. It gets uncomfortable. Okay, now it's easy to read it real quick and go on to chapter 7. Okay, where there's healings and miracles. Now, it gets uncomfortable because he calls us to do things that are uncomfortable to do. It requires us not only to go the extra mile as believers in him, but I'm afraid it's the extra 100 miles. Let's take a look at just a couple of these, then we'll get back to the message. Go back to Luke 6, back a page or two, to verse 27. We opened the service this morning with this verse. He said, but I say to you who hear. Okay, remember, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. That means, are you hearing with your heart? That means a heart connection. Because it's going to get tough. But I say to you, See, the reason he said that is everybody else was quoting Rabbi so-and-so and Rabbi so-and-so, and they were saying the opposite of this. But he turned it around, and these are his values. Love your enemies. That's really simple, isn't it? Thursday night we said, well, who would that be? Well, the Romans. Well, in the very next chapter, and Luke is a master at putting things in order of stuff. The very next chapter for this begins with a Roman, who's a good one, who they influenced and his heart changed to be a lover of Israel. So when you do that, things can happen and hearts can change. Love your enemies. The Romans? Yeah, because you know what? Some of their hearts are going to change. Do good to those who hate you. That's hard. I want to do bad to those that hate me. I want to get even with those guys, right? Don't you? That's what's in us. It gets worse. Bless those who curse you. I don't want to do that. If they curse me, I'll just get out of my life. No, it says bless them. We talked about Thursday night that some of us, maybe me, we have a list of people that we never want to see again or hear from again or speak to again or hear their voice, right? Some of you might have such a list. We talk about people at the top of that list. Let's go toward the top of that list. Yeshua was going there. He says, I want you to bless them. I don't want to bless them. They hurt me. Bless those who curse you. How many of you have had people say bad things about you? I never have. My emails just this week alone. That one was a funny one that I read, but there was other ones. Okay. Listen, in this congregation, not recently, not any of you, right? That I know of, anyway. Okay, many years ago, there was slander going on. Slander. The worst possible slander and stuff like that. I mean, amongst believers. It's terrible. Okay, so people say stuff about you. That's not right, right? Okay. Yeshua is saying, you know what? You're going to be in my community. It's going to happen. How are you going to handle it? But if you're going to be one of my disciples, here's a way to handle this. But it's not easy. You're supposed to bless them. And then pray for those who spitefully use you. Not that use you, but do it spitefully. We're to pray for them? Well, I pray, you know, like Tevye. Keep them far, far away from us. No, he said pray for them. How do you pray for those people? That their hearts are touched. That their hearts are changed. And they can be. And that's what intercessory prayer is all about. It gets better. To him who's... Anybody here ever been physically abused? To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. In other words, don't fight back. It's human nature to blow for blow. An eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, right? Mm-hmm. Turn the other cheek. Then verse 31 is the kicker, because that's the theme for this whole message. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Oh, okay. Turn the page. If you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 1398. Okay, verse 35. Then he goes, but, and he brings it together again. He's talking to believers. He's talking to his disciples who have to put this into practice because they have problems with who? With other disciples. I'll give you some examples in a minute. But, and he brings it all together here, love your enemies. Do good, hoping for nothing in return. In the middle of that verse says, and there's a reason, for God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, we're to be that way too. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. It's interesting how we can receive love and grace, but we don't want to give it. We can receive forgiveness, but we don't want to give it. I'm not saying this is easy. Can I do all this stuff? I'm working on it. I can't do all this stuff. Okay? I'll give you some examples of how I can't. Gets better. On the judging. Be careful. He's talking about the Pharisees here. Judging and condemning. He said, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Holding a grudge? Forgive. And you will be forgiven. You know what? Sometimes you just have to let go of it. Sometimes, as a believer, you know why? It's for the sake of the kingdom. It's for the sake of the community. Sometimes you just have to let go of it. Okay? Because maybe that person's not going to come around for a year or two. Sometimes you just have to let go of it. For the sake of the community, for the sake of the kingdom. An example. I was at a missionary conference. And some of the speakers were sharing about problems on the mission field. We think, well, the headhunters are going to come kill you and eat you. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, the bad guys are going to lock you up in jail. Yeah, that's a problem. Nobody's going to listen to you. They're going to treat you bad. Yeah, all that's a problem. But you know, the number one reason that missionaries come home is the problems with the other missionaries. They can't get along with each other. The believers cannot get along with each other. That's why they quit. Not the enemy, our friends. That's the number one reason we can't get along with our fellow believers. It's for the sake of the kingdom. It's for the sake of the kingdom. That's where the enemy attacks, is that we fight each other. We don't even worry about fighting the enemy. We do really well with each other, don't we? Okay? Well, when you look at this, you realize Yeshua's values and what he requires, and it's really, really hard. Sometimes you got to just let go for the sake of the kingdom. And turn the other cheek. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. You know what? Maybe next week I'll share this story. Okay. In our class Thursday night. So you got to be at these classes. We talked about there's a balance to all this. There's a balance. You don't just go out there and if somebody's beating on your cheek, until you go unconscious, you don't just let them do it, okay? Come on, there's a reasonable balance to all this stuff. These are illustrations about life. On one of my Mexico trips, I'm going to get in trouble on this one. Will you forgive me? No, she's not forgiving me, okay. On one of our Mexico trips years ago, we were in this village and so on, and one of our young ladies, as she was coming into the sanctuary, I'm going to get in trouble in this one. I'm not sure why I brought this up. Okay, turning the other cheek. I'm in trouble now. Oh, well. Well, one of the young men reached out and pinched her on her behind. Okay, now, did she turn the other cheek? I'm done, huh? I'm out of here, right? I don't know why I thought of that. She turned around and flattened him. She punched him in the nose. He went down to the ground. And she said, "You don't touch our women." Okay. At that point, that was actually appropriate because the guy came in to the service and he got saved. He realized that, whoa, there's a standard, and I way crossed that line, and I can't do that. And it was an automatic reaction, okay? It wasn't like, well, that's okay. Because that's not okay. It's not okay that you're abused in any way, even verbally, okay? Anyway, there's a balance, and we have to pray for discernment. This is my last sermon because I'm being fired. Anyway, let's finish it up. She's a teacher today at Azusa Pacific College, and later I'll give you her name, and you can call her and verify the story, okay? It's a true story. Okay, the picture is a picture of two builders. The one who hears Yeshua's teaching and does them is like the builder who builds with this deep foundation on the rock, and it withstands the storm. The one who hears, they both hear, but does nothing, he doesn't even have a foundation. But people do stuff like that. They build shabby buildings, okay? That's where we have building codes. And when the storm comes, it collapses, okay? The house rests on the foundation. What are you building on? It will either stand under stress or fall under stress. Either way, you're going to have stress. Yeshua talked, that's what he's talking about. There's going to be stress. And some of the stress is other believers. Some of the stress is other believers. You're going to have stress. The foundation holds the entire structure. Both builders heard. But it's really hard to build on a rock. You got to carve it out and dig it. It's hard work. That's harder. Some people choose the easy way, all right? Shortcuts. By the way, there's no shortcuts in the ministry. None. It's less work if I do this. They're short-sighted. okay, with no thought of the future. You better think about the future. Yeshua's way is not the easy way. None of his teachings are easy. Just try and do them. Just try. They're not easy. He calls us to a difficult way. It's opposite of the world. We stand out. We're different. But others look beyond the right now. They look beyond the now into the future. And you know what? How far into the future should you be looking? How about eternity? Eternity? They see the value of eternity versus the value of the moment. And that's Yeshua's value. What's the value for eternity? For the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of bringing people to him. Cool it. Quit fighting. Forgive somebody. Let go of it. Forget it. Don't get even. So which builder are you when you're building? Where's your foundation? Are you building on the short term for the here and now or the long term? A true disciple of Yeshua does what he learns from his teacher. Again, in Judaism, the concept is you haven't learned it until you can do it. It's not up here. It's in the action of your life. Some people, okay, why do you want to go to an expert for advice on an issue if you don't take his advice? Yeshua is the expert on life, on eternal values. He's the expert. His teachings are hard. You go, I want to know what your values are. Here they are. Oh, man, I don't want to do that. That's hard. Peter can say, Lord, you don't know John. Okay? Yeah, he did. He knew John. Are you aware that the disciples argued? They got in fights with each other. Okay, there was jealousy. There was backbiting. Yeshua had to be the referee sometimes. They had these kinds of things, and he taught them about this. He said, it's not like this in my kingdom, not like what you're doing. There is no room for jealousy, backbiting, all this kind of stuff, none whatsoever. We're in this as a team, as a team. We need to learn how to get along with each other. Okay? They were showing their immaturity. And there was all this friction. I want to be first. I want to be first. No. They got their mom to come. I want my sons to be. No. Okay, all that kind of stuff. Those people that were listening, the destiny of those hearing Yeshua's words would be determined by what they did with what they heard. And it's that way with us today. That's how important his words are. They determine someone's destiny. And it's our job to go and tell them his words. We're to put Yeshua's words, though, into practice, because if we tell people, but then don't do it, they say, it doesn't work. You need to see the living example of this working. And sad to say, on the mission field, they see missionaries fighting. Well, let's not go to the mission field. How about if we go to our local town here, okay? People say things about other congregations that are just plain wrong. They're different. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, God bless them. We're different. You know, don't be bad-mouthing other congregations or other leaders because they're different. Okay, there's differences on purpose. And it really bothers me with the Messianic community being so small that we bad-mouth the three or four congregations in Orange County, and we're the right one and they're wrong. We're different. You should be praying for them. They're not the enemy. They're our friends. They're not the enemy, okay? We should be praying for them. We should have Yeshua's words being practiced in our life. The picture being painted should be this. It should be our lifestyle, our values. It should be who we are. And it's not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy. In looking at all this, my conclusion is, because the opening line was, why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? It's not so much what you know. We can pass the test. Okay, I know what Yeshua said on this. Well, do you do it? He said, well, no. It's not so much what you know, but it's who you know. Do you know him? Do you know him? Because when you know him, you realize how loving and kind and gentle and gracious and merciful he is. And he wants to embrace you and say, you know what? If you walk with me, we'll learn how to do this together. It's going to take some time. You're going to make some mistakes. But I'm here to hold you up, and we're going to get there. You look at Peter's life in the Gospels, and he kept making all these mistakes to the point of the big one where he denied the Lord. Yeshua said, okay, you know what? Come on, we're going to... And Peter got better, and by the time he writes 1 and 2 Peter, he's got it. That took a long time, but he got it. He got it. The Lord will not give up on you or me. Okay? He will not give up. It's who you know. If you know him and walk with him, he, you know, he disciples you. And we were saying that in the Thursday night meeting, don't look to me, okay, as that kind of a teacher to be a disciple of mine. You are to be a disciple of Yeshua. You are to be a disciple of Yeshua. Because I'm not there. When I look at this list of stuff on these two pages, I am not there. And the more you know me, the more you'll know that. I am not there. I say stuff I shouldn't say. I said stuff this morning I shouldn't say. Want to know what it is? Got $5? I'll tell you right now. Remember Thursday night? This is really my last sermon, right? I'm going to leave it for this. Thursday night, we were having you pray for my neighbors. Because with all the Halloween stuff, and they'd make these big bonfires, and we're dancing around the fire with loud music with masks on. These are my neighbors. And Anna, thank you. Where's Anna for your message last week about the talking snake? Because I had two rattlesnakes this week, one of them in my back patio, and I think you resurrected the snake thing at my house with all the agitation they're going on, right? So we have all these problems. They were praying for me, right? Well, this morning, Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath rest, peace. I'm up early praying. Around 5:30, there's all this noise. And there's a huge bonfire going. They could burn all the county down, right? All this dry brush. Loud music playing. So I go out there with my big flashlight. Okay? And guess what? These wild savages dancing around, they're on my property, not theirs. And what are they doing? They're chopping down my trees for their bonfire. I raised my voice. Shabbat Shalom. That's not what I said. I didn't say Shabbat Shalom. I had this great big light, and the great big light was in the guy's face, just like this, okay? I didn't do this morning, so I may need to go take some cookies tomorrow, right? That was what we talked about at Thursday night meeting. So we asked about how it went. Didn't go so well today, the big bonfire. Chopped down my tree, okay? Anyway, it's not so much what you know, it's who you know, but the issue is, can you call him Lord? Can you call him Lord? If you do, then you need to be willing to make the commitment to say, I will do what you say. And it's hard. It is hard. Our foundation. If I were to ask you this question. Okay, the foundation of our faith is, and you fill in the blank. You know what? I get many answers to that. I get many answers. And here's a common one that's not the correct answer. I will say, the foundation of our faith, of Messianic Judaism, is, and people will say, Torah. That's the wrong answer. Torah is foundational to our faith. But Torah points to Yeshua. Yeshua is the foundation of Messianic Judaism. People say, we should be called a Torah community. You can be ultra-Orthodox and be a Torah community and not believe in Yeshua. We are a Messianic community because he's the focal point, he's the rock, he's the foundation upon which we build. You get it? That's who we are. All right? That's who we are. Torah is foundational. Yes, but it points us to Yeshua. In summary, when you have a long list of prophetic verses about the rock and the rock being the Messiah all through the Torah, and Peter and Paul play on those as they write. Not time to go into all those, but they're all there. But Paul sums it up. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that Yeshua is the chief cornerstone. Okay, the chief cornerstone. That's a rock, specially made kind of a rock. What's a cornerstone? The cornerstone is the starting point of a building. When you start the building, that's where you begin at the cornerstone. The cornerstone supports, it's a corner for two walls. You can't put one wall up. Guess what happens? Falls right down. You have to put up two walls. And the cornerstone holds the two walls together. That's the starting point. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the beginning, the author, and the finisher of our faith. And he supports it. The chief cornerstone is the first foundation stone that's laid, upon which the entire structure is built. Okay, that's Yeshua. He's the chief cornerstone. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Which is, and he says what it is, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the foundation on which we build. That was Paul's message. Paul the Pharisee. Paul the Orthodox man. He knew Torah frontwards and backwards. He said Yeshua is the foundation. He's the foundation. We build on him. Now, how do you do that, according to Yeshua? You do what he says. You hear his words and you do them. Now, I'm still looking for the verse that says this is really easy. It is hard. And I'm not living up to his standard right now. And I need your help. And that's why we have a community, to help each other. I can't do it. We're not meant to do it alone. We do it in a community. And when I'm not doing so good, I need someone to come and walk with me and give me a hug and hold my hand and stuff like that. Because I can't do it alone. And neither can you. We need each other. We need each other. Let's stop shooting each other. We need each other. Not just in this congregation, then one or two or three down the street. We've been shooting at them too. Don't do that. Don't do that. They're our friends. They pray for us. There's another congregation not far from here. And this shows you how much they love us. They actually have maps on their table to our building on how to get here, if people want to come here. Isn't that nice? That is nice. If you want to go to a dot, here's how you get there. Here's the map, blah, blah, blah. Bless them. That's nice. I like that. Okay? A couple of you kind of maybe come for that reason. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. All right? He's the rock. He's the foundation. Building is doing. If you're not doing, you're not building. If you call him Lord, do what he says. Do what he says. And Yeshua's transfiguration. Three times in his ministry, the voice of our Heavenly Father boomed out of the clouds. At his transfiguration, this brilliant cloud overshadows Yeshua. And it says there was a suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud. Here's what it said. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Who are you hearing? What you listening to? The voice of the Father said, this is who he is. Hear him. Hear him. Are you hearing him? Let's pray. Our God and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, I pray that our ears would be open. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. That we would hear you. And we would listen and hear with our hearts. We would understand and we would do the best we can and commit to doing better next time and learning as we go. We're not perfect. We're not there. But I pray we would do the best that we can do, that we would give you our best. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would empower us to live your word and be the examples of believers to others. I bless you and thank you. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem this morning, that she would prosper and that the people in that city, we thank you for this lady who's coming to share with us about a light that's shining amongst the ultra-Orthodox in Jerusalem. Bless her ministry. We lift that up and pray that many would come to know you and their eyes and hearts would be open because they look at your word and see your promises fulfilled in Yeshua. And I pray that you would empower us to be lights that shine and that we would love each other, not hate each other, that we'd embrace each other, not shoot each other. And sometimes that means just letting go. Give us the grace and the strength to do some of that and get on with the work of the kingdom. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chonecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar shalom. Amen.